WeActRadio.com. Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine, your host for the next 3 hours, though it has become a tradition since I follow Nancy Skinner, Nancy Skinner Live, that I step on her last hour and she steps on my first hour. It's kind of a chocolate and peanut butter thing. So we got a lot to talk about. I want to specifically focus right now on the fact that Mitt Romney fired Richard Grenell, who is a, let's face it, a rabid neoconservative foreign policy spokesman in the tradition of John Bolton, his former boss, our United Nations ambassador, and did so not because of foreign policy, but because that he's gay. First, I want to welcome Nancy Skinner back. Welcome to the Inside Scoop, Nancy.
Hey, Mark. Great to be on the show.
Now that we've switched seats from host to guest, guest to host, it probably won't sound that different, but that's sort of the way it goes. So let's talk about Richard Grenell. So this is a guy who worked for John Bolton. And for those who have very limited memory or maybe don't follow these things so carefully, John Bolton was so controversial as George Bush's United Nations ambassador that he wasn't confirmed by the Senate. In fact, he was a recess appointment, so he could only be there for 2 years. He very famously said that basically he could just bomb the United Nations and it wouldn't change anything. And this is the guy who became our ambassador to the United Nations. So he's a very strong neoconservative. And Richard Grenell is, frankly, just as strong. He is a neoconservative. He is a rabid foreign policy Republican who, of course, very much supported the war in Iraq. So he represents Romney's foreign policy, which is Bush's foreign policy. That part shouldn't surprise anybody. Obviously, Romney is going to appoint conservative Republicans to be his foreign policy spokesman. And Richard Grenell was serving in that role. So, and this kind of follows as a segue from what you were saying, Nancy, about the one-year anniversary of killing bin Laden. So here comes this one-year anniversary, and Republicans are complaining all over Fox News that Barack Obama is spiking the ball, and Nancy, I think you very well explained why that really wasn't the case. But you would think then he would trot out his foreign policy spokesman to deal with the issue. But no, he didn't. This is the guy that's supposed to be the head of Romney's foreign policy spokesman team. He didn't trot him out at all. Richard Grenell was nowhere to be found. Where was Richard Grenell hiding? Somewhere in a closet somewhere, because Richard Grenell is openly gay. And when Romney hired him, most of us thought, okay, here's Romney's pivot to the middle. He's already, now that he's beaten Santorum, he's going to go back. He's going to show he's not such a bad guy after all. He's willing to hire a guy, not to talk about gay issues, to be sure, but to talk about foreign policy issues, who happens to be gay. So what happens? The right wing gets word of this, and they're upset because Richard Grenell, like most gay people, believes that gay people should have equality under the law. Now, again, he's a rabid foreign policy neoconservative Republican, but yes, he does believe in marriage equality because all gay people believe that they should be treated equally under the law. And
Mark,
so,
are you talking about these conservatives that are screaming out? Are you talking to, like, the head of the American Family Association?
Yeah. The homosexual agenda represents the single greatest threat to religious liberty and freedom of association in America today. When Governor Romney picks somebody who's an activist homosexual and puts him in a prominent position, he's sending a shout out, it seems to me, to the homosexual lobby.
Is that who those are?
You
those
are
the
so prepared, Nancy.
I speak?
That's a great clip. Great clip. I you had it at your fingertips. I love that. But that's exactly what I speak. What I find it so fascinating is this. I was trying to think of an equivalent example. And the one I came up with was our old friend Ron Paul, of course, opposes the Civil Rights Act of the 1960s. People don't know that a lot about Ron Paul because they're focused on the fact that he wants to legalize marijuana. But Ron Paul is a fairly consistent guy, and he believes that states have the right to choose whether or not to let their black people vote. He believes in states' rights very strongly. So Jim Crow laws, of course, are states' rights. Alabama, Mississippi said, hey, we don't want our blacks to vote. And so he was against the Civil Rights Act, 1964. He didn't think that the Interstate Commerce Clause under the Constitution allowed Congress to force southern states to give blacks equal rights and freedom. So I was thinking, what if Ron Paul had a black person as his foreign policy spokesman? Again, not talking about civil rights, but talking about foreign policy. Someone mm-hmm. could say, you know what, that's hypocritical, Ron Paul. You have a black person, and that black person supports the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And because that black person supports the Civil Rights Act of 1964, you can't hire him because he's against a big issue in your campaign. What the American Family Association, and I say that purposely, what they are saying, in effect, is that no gay people can be hired in government because they're going to insist that they be treated equally. And we all know that we don't want to treat gay people equally. So the real answer is don't hire gay people at all. I mean, isn't that what they're saying?
No, because he did it to satisfy conservatives, and now he's being Mitt Romney, you know, the one we all know and don't know.
When he was first hired.
And he's pivoting here, and now he says this is today. That was yesterday. Today, saying Mitt Romney said today he wanted openly gay spokesman Richard Grenell to remain on his team, as he stressed his campaign does not discriminate in hiring. He's a very accomplished spokesperson, Romney said on Fox News. In his first remarks on the controversy, we select people not based on their ethnicity or their sexual preference or their gender, but upon their capability. But in fact, why did Richard, if Romney loves him and wanted him, why did Grenell quit and cite hyper-partisan discussion of personal issues that sometimes come from a presidential campaign from his departure? Did he quit of his own? Did he walk the plank on his own is the question mark?
I need to get a lot more flip-flops. I need to own a lot more. If Romney's going to be around, it's going to be very hard to keep this all or, you know, to be clear, if you want to know how Romney felt about Grenell, ever since the American Family Association and all the, you know, gay-hating right started complaining about him, if you want to know how Romney felt, when Bin Laden's anniversary, when this came and the right was complete, there was a whole, you know, the news cycle for a couple of weeks was entirely devoted to Obama's foreign policy, you would think that the Romney foreign policy spokesman would be front and center talking about it. Instead, he was muzzled. And I don't think he was muzzled for his foreign policy views, which are standard neoconservative, John Bolton, right-wing conservative views. I mean, some really right-wing out there foreign policy views. So he's muzzled for 2 weeks. He even says, in effect, that because...
Is he banned from tweeting? Because he had some tweet issues.
He did delete a bunch of his tweets. But his tweets, frankly, are no more snarky than any other conservative or liberal tweeter out there. People tend to be snarky in tweets.
Like, who did that really crazy tweet, the older... was it not Lugar? No, sorry, Senator Lugar. What older senator? Grassley! Said that he called the president stupid in a tweet. Remember that?
Tweets are very dangerous things.
Yeah.
You put it in 140 characters. And I got to say,
Chuck Grassley, like 125, and he's using all the the tweet language, you know.
I want to say on behalf of Sarah Palin that Grassley refuted that tweet. That's a word, of course, that she created in a tweet.
Refuted.
Refuted, yes. You know that, right?
She did not.
No, she did.
She totally did.
Sarah Palin tweeted. Yes, she said, I refuted that. Yes. It's not, she didn't refute it, and she didn't repudiate it. No, she refuted it.
I sure hope Romney picks someone like that so we can have some fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
So what, Grassley didn't actually do...
No, he did.
Apologized for it, but right. I don't think he...
Well, he didn't refudiate it. But had it been Sarah Palin, she would have refudiated it. No, he apologized for it. No, but here's my point.
You don't think it was the tweets? You think it was strictly because
the right wing didn't want a gay guy.
Homosexual... Did you hear what he said? I threw that clip at you, but a bit much. Listen to the beginning of this. It's very short, but listen to what he said and try and square this with what the Republican Party in general is trying to say about the greatest threat to our country.
The homosexual agenda represents the single greatest threat to religious liberty and freedom of association in America today. When Governor Romney picks somebody who's an activist homosexual and puts him in a prominent position, he's sending a shout out, it seems to me, to the homosexual lobby.
So what he said is, you know, the whole narrative about the Obama campaign is a threat to your religious liberty and freedom, you know, that because of what? Because of Oh, because he wanted Catholic hospitals to provide contraception or whatever. Did you know, Mark, instead, the homosexual agenda is the biggest threat to personal liberty and religious freedom?
Well, you know, women and gay people, you can't trust them, right? I mean, ask the Pope, mm-hmm. ask the Islamic fundamentalists. I mean, obviously the greatest threat. I mean, just the other day, right, the Pope slapped down the nuns that actually said that, you know what, economic justice is more important than attacking women's contraception. I mean, look, this is what fundamentalists believe, right? Run in fear from the women's and gays.
I thought that the fact that the president is a communist slash socialist
right.
was the biggest threat.
An atheist socialist, Kenyan Muslim socialist. Kenyan Muslim socialist, gay-loving.
You have to throw homosexual into that?
Homosexual-loving, women-fearing, I don't know.
My point being, I get lost in all the... They're watering down how their whole focus of why Obama is a threat to this country.
But here's what I find so interesting, though. He wasn't a spokesman on gay issues. To me, this is the most interesting thing of all right? Richard Grenell was talking about foreign policy. And if anything, he was snarky about marriage equality because he was attacking Obama. He was saying to people who are he was actually trying to get gay people to support Romney because he was saying to gay people who support Obama, you know, Obama doesn't even believe in marriage equality. He's evolving on the issue. So, you know, he's no better for you than Romney would be. So since you're a conservative anyway, gay people, go ahead and vote for Romney. The irony is he was actually trying to do what you would think he was trying to do, take his constituency or whatever, you know, the gay Republican constituency is. And I want to talk about that later in the hour about because I live in Washington, D.C., around thousands of closeted gay Republicans. I used to work with them in Congress, so I want to talk about that. But what he really was trying to do in attacking Obama on marriage equality was saying, hey, Romney doesn't support marriage equality, but neither does Obama. Hey, gay people, vote Republican. And that's the thing that made the American Family Association so nervous, that he was actually trying to get gay people to vote Republican. What they're saying, in effect, is we don't want gay people's votes. Conservative gay people, even if you agree with Romney on tax cuts and foreign policy and, you know, helping out the soulless billionaires, even if you agree on all of that, we still don't want your vote.
No, they want the money because it's a very cash-rich environment to raise funds.
Sure.
But breaking news, Joe Biden said on Meet the Press this morning that he's comfortable with gay marriage. So
I have no doubt, by the way, that President Obama will evolve
on this. No, but I get your point. So then I have a question for Mark. How did Grenell then survive to get to be the point? Like, how did he get through the Josh Bolten years? How did he get through all these different places one must go travel to be the spokesperson on a presidential campaign? If you are an openly gay Republican, if this philosophy is so prevalent in the party.
Well, Grenell worked for – it wasn't just John Bolton. I mean, he worked for he has a whole list of Republicans that he's worked for. I mean, this is a Republican operative. He has worked for.
So are you saying he's tilted? He's that the Republicans are not anti-gay, but that Romney is breaking from that, or that there's been.
I don't think most. And again, I used to work for Barney Frank, so I am well familiar with how gay people are treated in Washington, D.C. And the rule in the Republican Party is, they're fine with gay people. There are a lot of very smart gay people, a lot of very conservative gay people that can help them out, as long as they don't talk about being gay. They love closeted gay people.
So they like Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
They're all about Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Which they...
I mean, you had, of course, the head of the Republican Party was gay, right? I mean, back... And he was the one that was talking, you know, Kenneth... why does the name escape me? He was the one that said he was defending George Bush on stopping gay people from getting married. Ken Melman, that's his name. Melman. He was the campaign manager for George W. Bush in 2004, the chairman of the Republican National Committee from 2005 to 2007. Okay, and he was closeted. He was a closeted gay man, and they were fine with it. What they don't want is people telling the truth, because truth scares Republicans. See, they're all fine with gay people. It's kind of like, you know, every slave owner, you know, if Mammy would just be quiet and not complain and serve the slave master, I mean, Thomas Jefferson slept, right? I mean, he was with Sally Hemings. He raped her, right? I mean, he had sex with a slave. It wasn't that he considered her not good enough for him to have sex with, right? But she had to know her place. It's the same thing with gay people in the Republican Party. They're happy to have gay people help Republicans as long as Republicans don't come out and say things like gay people should have equality to straight people. And that's how it works in Washington. In Washington, D.C., and look, when I worked for Barney Frank, there was a whole association of gay staffers and so forth and things like that. Mm-hmm. And in the daytime, they would have meetings, and only the gay people that work for Democrats showed up. And then the nighttime, they'd have meetings, and they double in size because all the gay people that work for Republicans showed up. It's like if you are a gay Republican, you understand yourself to be a second-class citizen, and you just kind of accept that. That's the way it is. You know, Booker T. Washington very famously said, you know, blacks need to sort of stay in that second-class status because we're working for education and other things. And in the 1880s, that made sense. And there are gay people in the 20-teens or 20-tweens who believe sort of the same thing. So go along to get along. They are conservative. You know, gay people are conservative just like gay people are liberal. But they decide that they just have to basically accept second-class citizenship. And so
I'm going to challenge you a little bit on this.
All right.
Because, you know, the way that this sounds, it sounds like, okay, you could be a conservative Republican and in every area, and you know, let's face it, there is a left and a right in this country, and we tend to, our issues are similar, you know, diametrically opposed, but similar on different things. So, you know, Democrats who support healthcare and healthcare reform and just tend to support environment, don't believe in global warming, tend to worry about the state of urban areas and the strength of that, you know, tend to do. On the other side, you know, it's all about taxes, blah blah blah. So to me, to say that you could equally have like gay Republicans that accept every other thing that often is not in keeping with the progressive philosophy, that we are all united, we're all Americans in this together. It's more you're on your own and a whole different tactic. It just is like to say that we could have militant homophobes in the Democratic Party, which we have.
We do.
Obviously, with the Dixiecrats.
Sure.
But that somehow that sexual orientation is just a wild card, a biological wild card, which I believe
right.
it to be,
right.
but doesn't affect the person's whole spectrum of beliefs.
Right. Absolutely.
Is wrong. So, like, I just happen to be a gay Republican, to me, is a curious question.
Well,
curious
I'll tell you why it's curious. It's curious because of the Republican Party's anti-gay stance. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there are black Republicans,
and
too.
More.
Not that many.
I'm saying and more. Because
well,
I don't,
just because you're gay doesn't mean you have to believe it.
I do not
global
get
warming.
How... I ran for office. I had a big gay constituency, you know, and I was way ahead of the curve in my day on that issue before the polls changed. And I will say that just there to be gay and be a Republican and accept the rest of what you have to accept doesn't seem just there's something missing there. There's
well,
something
to
missing
me,
there.
The thing that's missing is the belief in equality. I mean, that's why, listen, after black people, gay people and Jews actually are up there. They're sort of almost tied for being the most loyal to the Democratic Party. Blacks are up in the 90s. Gay people and Jews are in the 70s, 70 percentile of supporting Obama and the Democrats. Jews is actually a very different story, and we'll have to talk about that sometime. But for gay people, I think it is because of discrimination. Other than that, gay people are in every one of the 50 states, and they are conservative and liberal and male and female and black and white, and they fall into the same demographics of any other Americans. I mean, but why? But, you know, they're not voting 53% for Obama. They're voting 70-something percent, and that difference, obviously, is not about global warming, and it's not about tax cuts. I think gay people support global warming or care about tax cuts pretty much in the same percentage as the straight people do. It's entirely because of the Republican Party's anti-gay policies. And so you do have people
just
like
Richard. Disagree. I have to, Pete, really? And you're going to have to weigh in on this.
You think gay people believe in global warming more than
straight
people?
I just don't
think
it's a complete wild card. And if both parties had the same position about gay equality, that you would have an equal division among the parties.
Before you answer, Pete, Nancy, let me give you a little bit more information. Tell me why I think this is true. In England today, I don't know if you heard about this, the Conservative Party in the UK has completely dropped all of their anti-gay rhetoric. What they said is, we think we can get more of the youth vote, more of the youth gay vote, because we want to support our same conservative issues, which is bashing unions and all the other economic conservative issues you hear about in the United States, but we're going to be pro-gay. And I'll give you another example, and that's one of the most right-wing politicians in the Netherlands. A vicious anti-Muslim guy, Geert Wilders is his name. He's like the Le Pen of the Netherlands, and he's absolutely for kicking out Muslims. He's a strongly anti-immigrant conservative, but he believes in full gay equality because he wants to get the gay anti-immigrant anti-Muslim vote. So in Europe, the Conservative Party has already moved past the idea of being anti-gay, recognizing that, yeah, they're fire-breathing gay conservatives, just like they're fire-breathing gay liberals. And once you get rid of the anti-gay stuff, we can get our support. But go ahead.
Because they're not monolithic, but as a group or a block. But to suggest that it would be evenly divided,
Maybe not evenly divided.
Women tend to be more democratic.
That's true.
In large numbers, because of the spectrum of issues, not just because of contraception, not just because of choice.
But that's a big factor.
A lot of the issues.
If it were not for contraception, if we're not for choice, I think you would find less of a gender gap. I'm not going to say that it would be exactly, you know, the same. I think women, but women care probably more about education than men, and women probably care more
our brains are wired differently. We care more about, in fact, from our discussion last week, your author and guest, we care more about solving problems, working together.
Right. No, I understand.
Brains
all that.
Are configured.
And listen, okay, so I'm not saying that if the Republican Party suddenly decided that they believed that gay people were equal to straights under the law, that gay people would come down to exactly the same percentage as straight people. I suspect there will always be a more liberal bent to the average gay person than the average straight person, simply because a gay person has had to fight against the conservative bent of society. And once you sort of step out of that mold, if you're raised in a conservative southern state or western state, and you're raised to be, I mean, I know lots of gay people who are raised as fundamentalist Christians in Nebraska or in Mississippi or in some very conservative places, and who believed all of that rhetoric until they came out and switched sides. David Brock, of course, is a very famous example. He's a guy many people know who was the person who originally found all of Paula Jones, all of Bill Clinton's, he was a rabid right-wing conservative and did some really kind of vicious things to take Bill Clinton down, looking to all his private life and trying to find all the women. He's the one, like I said, who found Paula Jones. And then what happened? He comes out as gay, and all his right-wing conservative buddies desert him completely. Mm-hmm. So much so that, fascinatingly, this really, and I would say pretty unscrupulous right-wing Republican, becomes a liberal Democrat, founds Media Matters, probably the most powerful organization to combat the right wing today, writes a really interesting book, Blinded by the Right. A lot of us on the left, frankly, were a little wondering about David Brock because he was such a nasty fellow during the Clinton years toward liberal interests. But because he's gay, and I think only because he's gay, if he weren't gay, he would still be there with Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh dishing dirt along with Andrew Breitbart. May he not rest in peace.
Say that.
Well,
no, that's a terrible thing to say. Bad karma.
But
don't
I think, Mark, you're touching on an important facet here, and it's in addition to the issue of where people are coming down voting-wise, we would lose a ton of top-flight Democratic operatives in this town if the issue changed.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, for gay people, I mean, we got a very look. David Brock, for all his past things, which I'm not one of those people that says, "Well, David Brock, he's I love David Brock because look, he's
just
great.
Changed. He didn't. He changed. And
entirely.
Ariana Huffington was a Republican. Okay.
No, she's a little different.
They changed.
Case.
They went 180
right.
degrees.
He's
on
absolutely 180 degrees. I don't think she went 180 degrees. She's an interesting case.
She's more left. She criticizes Obama for not being left enough.
I understand, but she was never as far right
ironically,
as David Brock was,
because her husband was gay.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Senator Huffington.
Right, but she was playing.
That's how she got her claim to fame.
That's exactly
You're
right.
You're too young to even remember that, aren't you?
I am.
No, that's exactly right. And she was, but she was Republican housewife, and she was, you know, a very loud one.
Yeah.
But she was sort of playing along to get along. But David Brock was far further to the right than Ariana Huffington ever was. She was a moderate Republican. He was a fire-breathing,
I know David. David personally well.
I know David too.
Campaign. But he. So I
and
think
I and I listen. I'm very glad he's on our side. I don't want to. Don't get me wrong here. I mean,
but
he's
you
a
don't
very
just
powerful
change
force.
Your. Here's what's confusing. Is compounding. He now as he has completely changed his positions on the whole gamut of issues that I'm
yes,
talking about.
Yes. Yes.
So I guess where I'm having a pickle with you, Mark, is that I just don't think it's a single issue that could go on either side and but for a position on one side or the other. I think it's more hardwired into people. I have an interesting study that I hesitate to bring up because I know you want a break here about brains and things being hardwired.
Tell you what, let's save that for after the break.
Right.
All right.
That's saying, but so I guess I can't just agree. I understand what you're saying about Grinnell. Is Grinnell going to turn into? Is he going to turn into a hardcore liberal now?
I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. Let's discuss this more after the break, Pete. Let's roll the break. So when we come back, I also want to encourage people to call in and join in this discussion. All you have to do is dial 202-889-9797. Or you can dial toll-free 1-800-488-MARK, 1-800-488-6275. And join in the discussion. What do you think? So would gay people be conservative if the conservatives stop being anti-gay? It's a very interesting question. I'll be back with Nancy Skinner right after this.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
See We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking here with Nancy Skinner, the host of Nancy Skinner Live, at the show from 10 to 12 that comes just before the Inside Scoop, though we've been doing this sort of layover package where I come early and talk on her show and she stays late and talks on mine. But what we're talking about is, of course, Romney's firing of Richard Grenell. Now, okay, did he really fire him? There we go. Okay, so... What happened is Richard Grenell is Mitt Romney's foreign policy spokesman. He's a fire-breathing neoconservative in the Josh Bolton school, and he was going to talk about foreign policy. Well, when foreign policy became the issue the last 2 weeks because of the anniversary of bin Laden, he wasn't trotted out at all. He wasn't asked to speak at all. And the reason he wasn't, he believed, and I think no one's really denied, is because people on the right – talk show hosts and people with the American Family Association, other gay-hating social conservatives, said that Grinnell couldn't serve the Romney team, even as a foreign policy spokesman, because he's gay. And believes that gay people should have equal rights to straight people in marriage and things like that. All right. So he's not trotted out to speak. And then what happens is a lot of people ask him to resign. And Romney says nothing. He's silent. All it would have taken is a phone call by Mitt Romney saying, Grinnell, I want you to stay. But Romney doesn't say a word. So Grinnell sees the writing on the wall. He hears everyone telling him to quit. He hears no one defending him. So he submits his letter of resignation. And even then, Romney could have said, you know what? I reject your letter of resignation. I want you to stay. He didn't.
Mark,
Romney let him
fired.
Walk. He fired
I'll
him.
I'll tell you how these things work.
Right. Go ahead.
That's BS. He, as the presumptive nominee, made the call that the guy should go.
Right.
All this silence and so I'm going to resign BS is called theatrics.
Okay.
To Romney, somebody, no staffer would make a decision at that of that significance. The candidate himself or herself makes those calls.
Exactly.
So this whole charade of of silence that did then he resigned and he didn't say anything is BS.
Well, that's my point, is that it is a charade, and we know it's a charade. But what kills me is that now, as you point out, Nancy, Romney's come on TV saying, oh, no, I wanted him to stay. I wanted him to stay. That's a load of BS.
That's why, but that's the thing. That's the guy. That's Romney. He flips on, you know, he's been this major flip-flopper. He has no backbone. What were they saying? Like, Bill Clinton had his own sister soldier moment where he could have said,
right.
He could have stood up and said, you know what? I'm tired of hearing this divisive behavior, what his personal sexual life is before the, you know, I'm done with this subject. Our country's in trouble, blah, blah, blah.
That would have been a majorly important point.
Cojones.
Had he done that, had he had his sister soldier moment,
nobody
had he
had
done,
his mom jeans on, and he didn't.
If he had done what they've done, as I said, conservative, right-wing, firebrand conservatives in the UK, United Kingdom, and England, and in the Netherlands have done, is they've said, you know what, this issue isn't winning us votes anymore. We are okay with gay equality. We just support all these other things that are right-wing conservative. Had he done that, had he had his sister soldier moment, and that, by the way, for those who don't know what that is, because, all you know, politicians, people like Nancy and me, we talk about these things in shorthand. Sister soldier, for those who don't know or don't remember, or probably happened before Pete was born, mm-hmm. Is Bill Clinton. They were wondering if he was going to reject some of the more radical left-wing people, and Sister Soldier was a rapper who had said some, I forget, it was some anti-white or anti-cop or just, you know, some radical rapping rhetoric. And he comes on stage with her, and he rejects strongly, to her face, rejects her rhetoric while she's shot. And that was something that told Americans, this is a guy that, yeah, he's a liberal Democrat, but he's not a radical lefty. And it was all purposeful and political, and Sister Soldier may have been surprised, but Bill Clinton did this to say, hey, I'm not owned by my left wing. And Mitt Romney could have had his Sister Soldier moment. He could have said, I'm not owned by my right wing, but instead he followed every bit of it. And here's what I find so interesting, Nancy, is that now the right wing, the same radio host, a right-wing radio host by the name of Brian Fisher, who said he's got to fire Richard Grenell, is now saying what a wimp Romney is for listening to me. Play that clip, Pete.
Ask this question. You know, people have raised this question. If Mitt Romney can be pushed around, intimidated, coerced, co-opted by a conservative radio talk show host in Middle America, then how is he going to stand up to the Chinese? How is he going to stand up to Putin? How is he going to stand up to North Korea if he can be pushed around by a yokel like me? I mean, I don't think Romney's realizing kind of the doubts that this begins to raise about his leadership. And I don't think for one minute that Mitt Romney did not want this guy gone. He wanted this guy gone because there was not one word of defense, not a peep from the Romney camp to defend him. They just went absolutely stone cold silent. They put a bag over Grinnell's head. They even asked him to organize this phone conference, and they didn't even let him speak at the conference that he organized.
So that's hilarious. So this is Brian
Romney
Fisher.
Because Romney only needs to hold a pen.
This is Brian Fisher. This is the same yokel, the same right-wing talk show host that complained about Richard Grenell and said he's got to be fired. And then he says, what a whip Romney is for listening to the likes of me. That's one of the most honest comments I've ever heard by a right-winger ever, I got to say. I was impressed with that one.
All right, but I do want to hear. I want Pete. So I think.
Let me raise the other issue. Okay, so we've talked about firing of Grinnell. So here's the issue we raised before the break, and that is whether or not gay people in America, gay and lesbian, transgender, bisexual people, we all know they vote strongly more Democratic than Republican, and frankly, they are, after blacks, gays and Jews are sort of tied for the most loyal constituency of the Republican Party. Latinos are next, by the way, but they're in the blacks are in the 90s, gays and Jews are in the 70s, Latinos are in the high 60s, though they may go higher in this election season. Anyway, the question is whether they would have that same loyalty to the Democrats if the Republicans finally accepted the idea that gay people should have the same rights as straight people as they have the right-wingers in England and they have in the Netherlands. And I submit to you that maybe gay people would still be more liberal than straight people, but it wouldn't be votes in the 70s anymore. It'd be votes maybe in the high 50s, because there are a lot of conservative gay people out there that only support the Democrats because of these anti-gay issues. But go ahead,
and
Pete.
I say you're smoking something.
You say I'm smoking
it
something.
Not change all that much for a whole host of other hardwired and other issues that I want to get to, but before I get to that, Pete.
All right, Pete. Weigh
so
in.
We need a tie-breaking vote.
Tie-breaking
here.
Vote. I got to side with Mark, but I think the one thing we're all missing is that the LGBTQ community has an affinity towards women's issues, too, which I think would play a big role in this as well.
Sure it does.
That's my point.
No, but here's the thing.
So wait, you just did what Mitt Romney, you just did what that host did.
Pete was on both sides of the issue.
I'm a professional. I'm very good at this.
I'm the baby, Pete. Which is it? You can't
Don't
say that.
Don't make Pete
That's
choose between
choice.
Mommy and daddy.
I know.
Come on.
Like, this is really hard.
All right.
You don't have
I
to answer
bring
that.
Up something more controversial.
No, but here's the thing.
Mark, can
let me just say this.
Something more controversial.
Oh, before you bring up something more controversial. Hang on. Before you bring that up, mm-hmm. just understand, I have worked in the Beltway. I've lived in Washington, D.C. for more than 10 years. I have worked in Congress. I know lots and lots and lots of closeted gay Republicans. In fact, there's two in the Senate right now who I won't name. Okay, two serving senators, United States senators who are Republicans who are in the closet.
Really
and you shouldn't if they are not hypocrites.
I'm not going to out them. There's also one Democratic senator who is gay. But my point is this: I know a lot of gay Republicans, and there are a lot of conservative gay people, just like there are a lot of conservative American people out there. And some of them now, admittedly, they're not as many in the Republican Party, but that's because they are anti-gay. It may well be that, let's say, gay people will go down. Look, women are not in the 70s or 60s. They're in the high 50s for the Democrats, okay? So they are more Democratic than men, to be sure, but they're not up there with blacks, gays, Jews, Latinos. All right, I submit that the gay support for the Democratic Party would dip down to maybe where women's support is, high 50s, from where it is now, the low 70s. That's my thesis, and we'll see in 20 years who's right, because I do think Republicans are going
to... There's a couple of studies that I pulled out that would lend some interest to your thing. First of all, men shop online more than women. Did you know that?
I don't know. There's a book at Amazon.com. I should check it out to see if...
Amazon.com being the number one site that men shop on.
Exactly. I was just going to say, that's of course. We're lazy. We are lazy. We like to go to our computer and order something. Yes.
So this I found interesting. That
women have to try it on.
Where is this? USA Today. Two stories from USA Today. Why men are out shopping women online.
Right. Women have to see it and try it on.
Luxury menswear and accessories are leading the growth trend. Okay, yeah. 70% of affluent men prefer to both research and buy online.
Sure.
With more than a quarter of them making purchases weekly. And we're not talking buying porn off of Amazon. We're talking buying clothes, watches, beyond Rolex, the second most famous website. Amazon's one, but among the affluent, they look at Louis Vuitton and BMW. Listed by Rolex, so
they buy BMWs in online.
No, just the sites that they visited.
That doesn't mean they're buying online.
And so, what websites are you guys checking out? Number one site for this group is Amazon. Surprisingly, sports news website ESPN was number 10. So Amazon is
what was
one.
Number two. I'm not surprised Amazon's one. Two's got to be like Google or something.
Then two. No, this is for
shopping.
Google, everyone does.
Okay. Number two is Target.
Favorite brands, we're talking affluent men, they singled out in the study.
Okay, well,
listed, but they only
have friends who are NASCAR owners. I don't have friends who are NASCAR owners like Mitt Romney does, so I don't know what affluent men choose. But
they categorize it as $100,000. Affluent men listed Rolex first, followed by Louis Vuitton and...
Rolex? Are you kidding me? Are you telling me after Amazon, Rolex is the second largest? No way.
Visited... And when it comes to favorite brands, affluent men listed Rolex first, followed by Louis Vuitton and BMW, but they're out shopping women by 20 to 30%.
Okay, so all right, fine. So what does this have to do with gay Republicans in the closet?
That perhaps men's behavior is more like women, okay, that who are supposed to be shopping online. Here's the more controversial USA Today story that I saw. the same edition. Study finds brain differences based on faith. And this is a study that was funded by the National Institute of Health and the Templeton Foundation.
I could say this as a Jew. Our brain is at war with itself.
Okay.
Two Jews have three opinions. So you know, we disagree with ourselves. And six Jews have about 27 opinions. It's kind of, it's a weird sort of...
It's exponential.
It is, it is. It's exponential. So I know about the Jewish brain. I can't speak for other faiths.
Here's
I can
the conclusion of religious brains. Okay. They did not study, to my knowledge, Jewish brains.
They should have.
For decades, mainland Protestants have been beset by bad news, declining numbers, aging membership, waning cultural influence. A new study from Duke University Medical Center, however, gives these Protestants one reason for cheer. They seem to have larger brains than born-again Christians, Roman Catholics, and the religiously unaffiliated. They did MRIs of a number of mostly older, 58 or older people.
Larger.
They were initially recruited. They were trying to
Maybe
study.
Maybe they were just bigger people. Larger isn't always better.
In the elderly. And let me just put this in the context. So what they did, the MRIs, and what they found was that people had smaller hippocampal areas of their brain, which is in the center of your brain, and that is the area that controls emotion and let's see, what else?
I bet the Protestants had a large hippocampus. They were trying to block out emotions. You know, the distanced father and the mm-hmm. alcoholic mother. If we're going to get into complete stereotypes here, they were just trying to block out the pain.
Lack of social support is a reason for the smaller brain size or hippocampal atrophy. It's deep. It's buried deep in the brain. It helps mm-hmm. regulate emotion and memory. Atrophy or shrinkage in this region of the brain has long been linked to mental health problems such as depression, dementia, and Alzheimer's. Now, I'm not saying this is true, but this is because how did they asked those people who had what their religious affiliation was, and they found this. To me, that seems weird, but I do think that they're like our guest last week that. There is a biological component. Our brains are different. Men's brains are different than women's brains. We have more white matter than you guys do.
But see, here's the point about faith. Faith is largely environmental. I mean, some of it's genetic, but a lot of it is entirely environmental. So if you're saying there's a genetic biological difference, and then you say, well, brains are different based on something that people freely choose to be, unlike gender, they freely choose their faith, that suggests to me that there's a large biological influence. And I would suggest to you that I would have liked to see liberals versus conservatives, because I'll bet we have
studies on that and studies. How do you feel? How do you think
we're more open-minded than they are?
Sexuality manifests physically. Do you think there is absolutely no difference in the biological composition of a gay person versus a straight?
I think there will be found to be biological differences in the brain.
So why would that not extend from something orientation to philosophies such as your political?
No, I think it could be. I think you'll find that liberals are more open-minded than conservatives. Conservatives, I think, are more likely to and you can argue respect for tradition or for people who like their routines. Small C conservative is often people who are sort of in a routine, and liberals are much more likely to try something new, and that could even be bad, right? I mean, liberals may probably use more drugs than conservatives. But the point is I think you would find a brain that fires, I don't know about larger or smaller, but fires differently between a person who likes to try new things, who is probably more likely to be a liberal, and a person who likes their routine, who's probably more likely to be a conservative. So, no, I do think there'd be differences in the brain. I don't know about faith traditions, though, honestly, because I know too many different kinds of Protestants and Catholics and evangelical. I mean, it's really within the faith. I think you'll find more similarity between Orthodox Jews and conservative Catholics than you'll find among all Catholics or all Jews. I think
the reason I'm bringing this into this discussion is
why are you?
I think you and I both would agree that sexuality is not a choice. You said like an environmental choice as would be religion.
Right. Well, religion is genetic too.
I firmly believe it to be biological.
Right.
But so the thing is I guess going back to why the Grinnell situation and the parties, that the same things that would make a liberal, as you say, whether they're more open-minded, tend to be, you know, women's brains tend to be thinking more of the us and not the I, mm-hmm.
that we
care about the global warming. We would not dismiss it as, you know, junk science because I
but
want
most
to drop
men
my
don't
SP.
Either. I mean, let's face it. There's extremely few people who actually believe it's all bunk. And they're all conservative right-wing people, but
they're lying to themselves knowingly and openly.
I think the vast majority of Americans are not scientists, And they sort of hear their news from wherever they get it, Fox or MSNBC.
My first hour. You hear what you want to believe,
right.
What you tend to believe,
right.
And you reinforce what it is.
Absolutely.
And that is why we have a dangerous election ahead of us. Because we have too many media filters that will tell people what they want to believe, without basis in fact.
Right.
And an objective worldview that's completely different. And I'm not saying that those people, my friends that are on Fox, I wrote a piece on my website, nancyskinnerlive.com, about I think people do have completely different worldviews and they believe them, for the most part, to be correct. There are people who absolutely know they're lying through their...
Ann Coulter, for example. But other than she...
But I think in general, there are a lot of people that... It is so ingrained. It's a meme. It's called a meme. It's like you inherit these things. But as a student of sort of quantum physics and epigenetics and all these things, it comes with the line between nature and nurture is so murky. And so that's why I don't think if you said, okay, Romney stood up for Goodell and kept a gay spokesperson and they're going to drop their anti-gay stance, that we'd see things like that big level tilts much at all.
Well, look, there are a lot of moderate Republicans that get substantial gay votes. I guarantee you Mayor Bloomberg of New York got more gay votes than his opponent, the Democrat that ran against him.
But he's gay.
He is not out. I don't know that Bloomberg's gay. I don't know that Bloomberg is gay. But I do know that he's a Republican who supports gay rights.
A distinguishing mind would hear something.
He's a Republican who supports gay rights.
And he would repudiate that?
He would repudiate that. No, but that's my point. He's a Republican that solidly supports gay rights. He also supports the business community and a lot of conservative things in New York.
Come on, Mark. He's
a moderate Republican.
He has a lot of affairs and trysts with women. He's been caught in more of those situations than any other, correct?
All right, so fine. So he's not gay. So that's my point. But he supports gay rights. And when you have a Republican who supports gay rights, they get a lot of gay votes. I got to tell you, he's a Democrat. You know, as much as I want to see freedom and marriage equality and equality across the map, there's something to be said for the fact that because Republicans are so anti-gay, it does bring gay votes to the Democratic Party. It's like, I would love to see the Republicans have a better stance on immigration because I care about immigration, I care about Latinos in America, but the silver lining to the cloud of Republicans being anti-immigrant is that we get Latino votes in the Democratic Party. I think we would get a lot less Latino votes, frankly, if the Republicans were less anti-Latino. So while the American in me wants to see equality for all, the Democrat in me says, well, Republicans, if you're going to be that nasty, hey, at least you help our party.
Party first. Yep, just like John McCain.
No. I would much rather see the Republicans support marriage equality than support fairness and immigration. What I'm saying is, given that they don't, the silver lining to that very dark cloud is that at least it gets more people in the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. I will say to your larger point there about their migration, they do get the fact that if they continue with the anti-immigrant thing, they're never going to win any election because of the
Marco Rubio understands
of Hispanics in America. The number of gays, I think, in America is going to remain relatively constant as opposed to Hispanic.
Well, yeah, no, Latino community is definitely growing. And listen, Marco Rubio understands that they're the second largest minority. They're the largest minority in the United States. There are more Latinos than blacks now in the United States. And Marco Rubio totally gets this, which is why he was trying to refashion the DREAM Act, which, of course, is the law that allows people who came in this country as children and therefore had no responsibility. Let's say if you cross the Mexican border when you're six, it's not like you say, I'm in first grade, I'm going to go to America. No, you're there because your parents take you over there, and it's not your fault. And whatever you want to criticize the parents, it's not the six-year-old's fault. And so the DREAM Act, of course, says that the six-year-old has a chance to go to college, and they've lived their whole life in America, and they may not even speak Spanish anymore. And so Rubio has tried this sort of DREAM Act compromise because he understands, frankly, as Karl Rove understands, as even George Bush understood, that the Republicans are not wise to completely write off the Latino vote. But, of course, during the primaries, Mitt Romney, he out anti-Latinoed Rick Perry and Gingrich and Rick Santorum. He was the most...
His father was born in Mexico. And I know we're wrapping up
his
this
grandfather.
Hour, so I have to...
Grandfather.
I have one important point to end on this discussion.
Real quick.
Before that, you show, and that is, The point is, you threw me off. No, that I think being Republican gives homosexuals more cover to stay in the closet.
Of course.
And that more Republicans, more gays would probably be openly Democratic, but being Republican cloaks them in I'm not gay philosophy. And so it actually
You're saying gay people choose to be Republican.
It's a tighter closet.
All right. I'll give you this. If you're gay and you don't like yourself, if you're a self-hating homosexual, if you are, you know, Richard Cohn famously worked for Joe McCarthy, if you are gay and you don't like being gay, then you may cloak yourself in Republicanism. But I actually think it's more likely to be the reverse. If you're gay and you don't like being gay, it's probably because you are a Republican. It's probably because you are a fundamentalist Christian. It's not like you choose to be a Republican or fundamentalist Christian because you don't like that you're gay. I would argue if you don't like that you're gay, it's probably because you were inculcated with these values that says horrible things about gay people. So it's a chicken or egg question, but I think that, listen, gay people grow up in all kinds of families. A lot of them grow up in Christian fundamentalist, right-wing, gay-hating Republican families, and I think that leads to their Republican views more than the fact that they're hiding being in the closet. But we can disagree on that. Nancy, thank you for coming on for a very stimulating hour. I always enjoy talking with you. And, of course, we're going to do the same thing next week. Coming up in the
and
next...
And, Pete, you're a wimp. you are just
He's very smart. He's staying between mommy and daddy, and he's not taking sides. I respect that, Pete. He's not running for anything. Hey, coming up in the next 2 hours, we have got a number of members from the Truman National Security Project. A lot of people, when they talk about the Democrats, there's this idea, this Republican idea that's been taught for a very long time that Democrats are weak on national security. I'm going to bring up in the next 2 hours some very, very strong people, people who've served in the military, people who have solid progressive values on national security. So don't miss that coming up in just a minute. Although if you want to call in during that minute or two, you can dial in at 202-889-9797. This is Mark Levine. This is The Inside Scoop. We'll be right back. Thank you, Nancy. Right after this.
Just one life in a world that keeps on pushing.